Emma, he explained, though his words seemed shrouded in regret.
If Dominic even suspected we were working together, he would have killed Taylor.
And me? What about me?
I knew he wouldn't hurt you.
You couldn't have known that.
He's as obsessed with you now as he was then.
He slipped his shirt back on and flexed his jaw muscle.
Angel was the only risk, but I knew as long as he tasted your blood, you were safe.
He ran his hands through his damp hair, clearing the view to his beautiful face.
I knew I could slip in, get the amulet, and then slip back out without putting you in any real danger.
What do you know about real danger? All the hurt and anger I felt that night came bubbling back to the surface like a boiling cauldron. You didn't stick around long enough to see it. You just left me there.
I had to.
Why? I cut in, my voice shaking from inside. What was so important that you would do that to me? Was it for Linley? His eyes steeled.
Linley's gone, Gemma.
I know, but... Wait. Had he given up on bringing Linley back? If that was true, something must have drastically changed his course. And as scary as it was, I needed to know what that was. If it wasn't for Linley, then why did you do it?
I had to stop you from giving the amulet to Angel.
What are you talking about? I didn't give the amulet to Angel.
Of that, I was sure. You would have.
He said it matter-of-factly, and then began recounting a history I'd probably never live through myself.
You gave it to him to save Taylor's life, and with your blood in his veins and the amulet in his hands, Angel became invincible. There was no stopping him.
He sat down on the chair by my desk and pushed his hands through his midnight black hair. I thought back to what Dominic said about Angel's plans for the amulet, that he wanted to control the undead and come out of the shadows. I shivered at the thought of him being successful, at the very notion that I might have had a hand in it. So, what happened? I asked, swallowing the choking ball at the back of my throat, my head throbbing from the merry-go-round I couldn't seem to get off of.
The uprising happened.
He moved his chair in closer, and I couldn't help but notice the dark circles under his eyes. He looked tired, worn out.
It was the beginning of hell on earth,
he explained, as grim as a reaper could be.
Revenants roamed the streets freely, feeding off of humans in the open like it was nothing. There wasn't anything anyone could do about it, and it was just the beginning of what was coming.
What about the council?
Gone. The entire order was overthrown, he said, shaking his head in disgust. The factions were at war over power and couldn't get it together long enough to set up a new leader.
A wave of nausea swiveled through my stomach as I pictured this alternate world I wanted no part of. That's horrible.
You have no idea.
He ran his hand down his face as though trying to erase the images.
Everything was a mess, Gemma, and it was only getting worse. They were taking over. I had to do something. I had to stop them, and this was the only way.
I understand. I get it. I nodded into it, finally understanding why he did what he did. The picture had become crystal clear to me, and it was hideous to look at.
Once I stopped the uprising, the High Casters got wind of what I was doing and bound me.
Why? Why would they do that?
To stop me from changing anything else.
Like what? I asked, starving to know more, to know all of it. If you stopped the uprising and everything is okay now, why would they think you'd want to change anything else?
Because not everything is okay, Gemma.
He seemed hesitant, unsure of how much he should say. It was clear he was still hiding something from me, something he was afraid of telling me.
It's far from okay.
My body trembled as I filled in the missing pieces. You didn't just come back to warn me about what would happen if Angel got the amulet, did you? He shook his head, and his eyes glimmered as they caught the light. Sadly, there was no spark left in them,
No sign of life. You came back because I'm not okay, am I? He shook his head again, and my heart sank. Am I alive? I asked quietly, watching him as he dropped his telling eyes to the ground. I knew the answer even before he said it.
No, Gemma. You're not alive.
15. Dead girl walking. The rain battered down hard against the window as Trace and I sat across from each other in my bedroom. I had so many questions to ask him, so many things I wanted to know about the future, about my death. But I didn't know where to start. It was too much to stomach, too much to process in one short lifetime.
Taking the amulet that night stopped the uprising, said Trace, as a clap of thunder reverberated outside my bedroom window. But it cost me you. Everything we went through together. Every kiss. Every conversation. Every moment. It was all wiped away as if it never happened.
The devastation in his words was almost palpable.
The world was back to normal, but everything that ever mattered to me was gone. You were gone.
Hearing him speak about me that way, about our life together, steered my heart to an unrecognizable place. I had yet to know this place for myself. Yet somehow I felt the loss right along with him. I wanted so bad to live there with him, to feel it for myself. But I couldn't help but wonder if I was still meant to. What if that's the way it's supposed to be now? I asked him, my voice shaking as each word made its way out. There's only one amulet. What if we can't have it both ways?
Then I'll unleash hell on earth again to bring you back.
Don't say that, I hissed, afraid the outside world would hear his promise and turn on us.
Why not? It's the truth.
He pushed forward until his knee was touching mine.
I can't live in a world where you don't exist, Gemma. I'll raise the dead myself if it means I can have you back. I swear I will.
No! God, no! I shook my head, afraid of his words, of the lengths he would go to keep me alive. You can't do that, Trace. Don't even joke about it.
Does it look like I'm joking?
There wasn't the slightest hesitation in his eyes. Listen to me, Trace. I don't want this. Promise me that if it comes down to it, you'll make the right decision. You'll let me go and do what's right.
I can't make you that promise. I won't.
I don't want to be the reason that everything good in this world ends. I wouldn't want to live in that world.
Then take this back,
he urged, digging the amulet out of his pocket.
Put it back on and never take it off. Never let Angel get his hands on it. If you keep it on like you were supposed to, everything will be okay. I know it will,
he said, but I could hear the uncertainty in his voice. It was as though he were trying to convince himself right along with me. He was as unsure of the future as I was, and coming back here only made it more ambivalent. There was no telling what kind of world he would find when he returned to his timeline. I slipped the amulet back on. I wasn't sure why, but it felt right around my neck, like I was always meant to be its wearer.
You can never let Angel know what you are.
His voice resonated in my ears like a promise no one else was supposed to hear.
Your blood is the key to everything, Gemma.
I don't understand. He picked up my hand as if to soften the blow. My skin hummed from the contact, instantly pacifying me.
You're not just a slayer, Gemma. You're different, special. You can do things that other Anakim can't.
I pulled my hand away. What do you mean I can do things?
I mean, you have abilities that are not natural to slayers.
His eyes softened as he took me in.
And it's going to put you in danger over and over again. The Order, Dominic, Angel, people just like him, they're going to try to use you for their own benefit. You can't trust anyone.
Do you know what I am?
I asked him, my voice a terrified whisper of hope. Regret clouded his eyes as he shook his head. I tried not to let my disappointment deter me from what I had to do. How do I stop this from happening again?
You have to kill Angel,
he said, and then reached out to stroke my cheek with the back of his hand. His touch sent a warm, lingering shiver down my back.
I tried to do it for you, Gemma. I tried so many times, and I'd keep trying if it meant you would be safe. But I can't change it. It's not my destiny.
It's mine, I finished for him. I was the one meant to do this. I was meant to save Taylor and stop Angel. Something inside of me stirred, rattled, shook me to my very core. My palm burned. I looked down at it, expecting to see a rune blazing through my skin, but there was nothing there. Still no mark of the Anakim. I rubbed my palm and nodded at Trace. I think I can do this, I announced. I wasn't sure why or how, but blind faith was whispering inside me, telling me I was meant to be the one.
I know you can do it,
he corrected, his eyes a stirring blend of emotions I couldn't fully decode.
You have no idea how strong you are, Gemma. How strong you could be.
He smiled lovingly as he tucked a strand of my hair behind my ear.
You amazed me every single day that we were together.
He seemed so much older now, so sure of himself and of me. I could almost see the love in his eyes when he looked at me. It was pure and genuine and heartwarming. And even though I was a mess and still struggled to put one foot in front of the other on most days, he didn't see any of that when he looked at me. So, I guess you're, like, totally in love with me in the future, huh? I asked, trying to lighten the mood a little. All teasing aside, I was dying to hear the answer. His dimples exploded on both sides.
Something like that.
You're not going to tell me anything about it, are you?
Nope.
I tried not to roll my eyes at him, but it was beyond my control. I guess some things never change.
What's that supposed to mean?
That it's still impossible to get a straight answer out of you. I studied this newer, more mature version of Trace. So much of him was different now, yet there was so much that was still the same. No matter how hard I try, I always find myself on the outside when it comes to you. Reaching over, he took my hand in his and yanked me off the bed and onto his lap in one quick move. My heart raced in my chest as the good vibrations cannonballed through my body.
You want to know why I pushed you away?
He asked, his brilliant blue eyes soaring out at me, opening up like a portal to a secret world I longed to be a part of. Yes, I said, my tenor barely above a whisper.
Because I was afraid.
His strong, confident gaze never wavered from mine.
I was afraid to let myself love you because I didn't think I could handle losing you. But you know what?
What? I asked with bated breath.
I'm not afraid anymore.
Heat emanated from my body like steam, fogging up my vision and blurring out my thoughts as my heart ping-ponged in my chest.
I love you, Gemma.
His hand slid through my hair, slow and unhurried, like we had all the time in the world to be together.
I love you with the kind of love that isn't even love anymore. It's more than love. It's my entire soul. It's everything that I am or will ever be, and nothing will ever change that. Not even hell on earth.
Oh my God. I thought my heart was going to burst, like it had literally been filled up right to the top and was about to split wide open. Every fiber of my being was awakened, on alert, trembling from a surge of emotions that shook me to my very core.
You're everything to me, Gemma. Everything.
He touched his forehead to mine and closed his eyes, pulling in a long, jagged breath as he breathed me into himself. My eyes slipped shut as I submersed myself in his words, in the simplistic perfection of this moment. Is this how it always was with us? I asked him, hopeful that a fairy tale awaited me at the end of this nightmare. His beautiful azure eyes, framed by thick, sooty lashes, opened again, and I instantly felt at peace gazing into them.
Better.
He smiled, his dimples igniting again. His hands slipped down my shoulders and settled around my waist, pulling me in closer to him, as close as our physical bodies would allow us to get. I didn't have to read his mind to know what he was thinking, what he wanted. My eyes dropped to the hungry smile that played on his lips, and in one sweet breath, those very lips were pressing fiercely into mine, plunging me headfirst into a dizzying kiss that was as vast and deep as the ocean itself. I didn't think it was possible for Trace's kisses to get any better, yet somehow they had. 16. Invocation. My steamy glimpse into the future, by way of Trace's mouth, was abruptly halted when I heard my uncle calling out my name from downstairs. I asked Trace to wait for me, pretty much begged him to, but alas, he didn't belong here. The future was waiting for him, and he had to be on his way.
Why are you not in school?
Asked my uncle as I came down the stairs, still in a daze from my afternoon escapades. Huh? Oh, right. Crap. I didn't feel good, I said, apparently deciding to go with the lamest excuse in the book. My stomach hurt. Jeez, could I get any worse at this?
You seem well enough.
I shrugged. I feel better now. He nodded, seemingly disinterested in probing my alleged stomach ailment. He waited until my foot touched the landing before asking,
May I have a word with you?
Crap. Having words was almost always never a good thing. Despite my instinct to decline his invitation, I nodded my defeat and followed him into the kitchen, where he sat down in his usual seat by the bay window.
Is your training with Gabriel advancing well?
He asked, taking off his reading glasses and placing them neatly in front of him on the kitchen table. Yeah, it's going good. Unless you counted Julian. Why? Did you hear something?
I'm simply catching up on your progress, he offered, doing his best to sound nonchalant, though it was clear his question was a loaded one.
Okay. So, is that it? He looked at me disapprovingly.
It's imperative that you take this seriously, Gemma.
I am. He furrowed his eyebrows.
The Magister tells me that you're having issues with your assigned guardian.
Yeah, but only because he's a total asshat. I flicked a piece of lint from my shirt, quietly pretending it was Julian's oversized forehead.
Gemma?
He appeared unimpressed with my choice of words. What? It's true. He's making it impossible to get through training with the constant jabs and sideline commentary.
You have to rise above it.
Easy for you to say, I mumbled. Clearly, he wasn't grasping the scope of my painstakingly annoying problem.
You will face far greater challenges and distractions. If you cannot find a way to work with someone who is on the same side as you, how will you prevail out there?
He said, gesturing out the window ambiguously.
On enemy territory.
I didn't exactly like what I was hearing, but I knew he had a point. I had to find a way to mute out the irritating giant and stay focused on what I needed to do. You're right. I get it, I said as I stood up from the table. I'll try harder. His posture turned rigid, letting me know there were more words to come, and I probably wasn't going to like them. I sat back down.
It's terribly important that you do your best to prioritize your training, Gemma. With invocation a growing possibility, you must be prepared to rise to the challenge, to all challenges you encounter.
Invo what? This was the first I heard of this, and I already didn't like the sound of it.
Invocation, one of the Order's most sacred rituals.
Ritual? I swallowed the word like a lump of coal. A ritual for what?
One mention of virgin blood or animal sacrifice, and I was taking the first bus out of Crazy Town.
To invoke your Anakim abilities, of course.
He said it as though I should have already known this, like I wasn't paying attention during the homeroom announcement or something.
Invocation goes back centuries, he went on, delving deeper into a history lesson that would never be taught in school, and was often used in times of war when numbers were scarce and descendant children were required to mature sooner.
Oh my God, was it starting already? Is the Order at war? I asked in total panic. Are the factions at war?
Are the factions at... Good grief, Gemma. Of course not, he said with a hint of ridicule.
I exhaled my relief, though the feeling was short-lived due to my numerous lingering questions. Okay, so then why is invocation a growing possibility? I asked, air quotes and all.
Well, simply put, it's the only way to break the cloaking spell without the talisman. Unless you invoke on your own.
You mean by training? I vaguely remembered Gabriel saying something about waking up my Slayer abilities.
Yes, by training. Though even in the best of cases, that isn't very likely, and certainly not within our short time frame.
My suspicion peaked. What's the sudden rush? His gaze broke away from mine as he placed his hands back on the table, splaying them as though buying himself time. There was something evasive about his eyes, something that caused me to take notice and sit up a little straighter.
Well, as I said last time, the spell is fading. We're still unsure what the repercussions are of a partial cloak, so the council felt it would be best not to prolong that risk if we don't need to.
Right, I nodded, even though I wasn't fully convinced he was giving me the entire story. After what Trace's alt told me about not trusting the council, I was even more committed to getting to the truth. Any news on those blood tests? I asked him offhand, hoping to catch him off guard. It had been weeks since he asked for a sample of my blood to ensure my bloodline wasn't affected by the spell. I had yet to hear anything about it. I couldn't help but wonder if he and the council knew something that would explain what happened in the church with Angel after he fed on me.
Unfortunately, the results were inconclusive.
His eyes shifted every which way but in my direction. Inconclusive? What does that mean?
There's nothing to be alarmed about. It's surely just the spell doing what it was designed to do. We'll know more once the cloak is removed.
I pulled in a long, aggravated breath. So, how much time do I have exactly? Until invocation?
A few weeks.
He shook his head grimly.
At the very most. It's best not to delay it any longer than need be.
Right. The good news just kept on coming. I had yet to talk to Trace since I had left him at school earlier today. I needed to tell him about my unexpected visitor from the future, and since his phone kept going straight to voicemail, I decided to skip the phone tag and head over to All Saints where we could talk face to face. The rain had simmered down to a light drizzle by the time I got there, the earthy smell still heavy in my nose as I shuffled through the front door. Trace was already well into his evening shift, busy talking with Zane, the head bartender, over at the main bar. I wiped the rain from my arms and walked over to meet them.
You can't stay away from this place, can you?
Jibed Zane, smirking at me with a wine glass in one hand and a dish rag in the other. I'm practically a workaholic. He broke out in a fit of laughter. Apparently, the idea of it was hilarious to him. It's not that funny, I said, trying not to be offended.
What are you doing here? Asked Trace.
He wasn't laughing, nor was he smiling for that matter. I guess he was still upset about how we had left things off this afternoon. I tried calling you, but your phone was off.
No response.
Okay. Can we talk? He ticked his chin towards the back room and then pushed off the counter. I followed quietly behind him as we moved our standoff to the manager's office. Closing the door behind us,
He leaned against the edge of the desk and crossed his feet at his ankles. In this state, with the light hitting his face just as it was, he looked like the marble statue of some beautiful Greek god. A pissed-off Greek god, that is. I'm sorry about today. I buried my hands in the pockets of my jeans to keep from fidgeting. I wanted to tell him that I was sorry about everything, about not believing him, but I couldn't seem to find the words to say it.
Where did you go?
He asked evenly. It looked like he was working hard to hide the hurt from his voice. Back to my uncle's? I took a step towards him and offered a smile. I had a visitor today, from the future. He sat up straighter, his interest piqued.
My alt?
I nodded.
What happened?
I pulled in a breath and went on to tell him about everything that happened earlier that day. I told him about the amulet and why future Trace needed it, about Angel and the uprising. I even told him about why he risked coming back one last time after being bound by the Council. He took it all in strides, all except the news about my future state of well-being, or lack thereof.
I don't get it, he said, shaking his head. How could you be dead? Morgan saw us in her vision. She saw me die.
Maybe she's lying, I offered.
She wouldn't lie to me.
He seemed certain of this. I, on the other hand, was not. She was Nikki's best friend, after all. Maybe Nikki got her to concoct this vision to keep us apart. You know, scare him into thinking that if he got too close to me, he was going to end up dead because of it. It's not like they weren't twisted enough to do something like that. I hope you're right. Not because I wanted either of us to be dead, obviously, but because her lying about her visions would only further complicate an already really complicated situation. We wouldn't just be navigating this thing blindly, we'd be navigating it with an upside-down map.
So that was it? My alt just handed over the amulet?
He verified, eyebrows drawn together.
Just like that?
I lifted it up as proof, ziplining the ruby pendant back and forth on the chain.
And you have no idea who I traveled back with?
He asked, checking off each of his questions as he tried to fill in the missing pieces. He didn't give me any names. He rubbed his jaw as he thought it over.
There aren't too many Reapers around here willing to break Council rules,
he noted, and then focused back in on me.
Did you get a look at them at all?
I shook my head. I wasn't in the room when he left. He raised his brow, intrigued.
Where did you go?
My uncle came home in the middle of our kiss. I got freaked out and didn't bother sticking around to see—
You kissed him?
He asked, ticking his head back. Yeah? I shrugged it off like it was no big deal, even though I could practically still feel his lips on mine. It all happened so fast.
Why?
Why did it happen fast?
Why did you kiss him?
He asked curtly, lifting off the desk. He had a weird look on his face, something like anger. He kissed me, I responded defensively.
Did you kiss him back?
Well, yeah. His jaw tightened. He was definitely angry about this.
You can't seriously be jealous of yourself right now, I mocked, shaking my head in disbelief. I'm not jealous of myself, he snapped, clearly pissed off. I don't get it. I don't get you.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
Pumping his jaw, he dropped his head and frowned.
Forget it. It doesn't matter.
It matters to me. Talk to—
Look, I have to get back to work,
he said suddenly, cutting off the conversation like he had zero interest in anything I had to say. He mumbled something on the way to the door, but I couldn't make out the words. I tried to go after him, but the door abruptly slammed shut in my face before I could finish calling out his name. 17. Search Party. The search effort for Taylor was already well underway by the time I made it to the Town Square Park later that day. The rain had finally stopped,
leaving in its place thin trails of fog that drifted over the grounds like a haze. It felt wrong being here amongst the flock of worried townsmen, searching for Taylor, when I knew good and well that she wasn't here. But I had to keep up appearances. I had to play my part until I was ready to go after Angel. We walked in lines, combing over every inch of Hollow and all of its borders until there wasn't any more ground to cover. And then we headed back the way we'd come, retracing our footprints for any missteps or unturned rocks. All I could do was think about Taylor and what she was going through. I prayed she wasn't afraid. I prayed she was warm. I prayed she was blissfully unaware of everything that was going on.
Hello, Angel.
Dominic moved up beside me, falling in line as I walked the edge of the fog-kissed park. Dominic, I greeted him coolly.
Any luck with your search?
He asked, his hands crossed behind his back. What kind of a sick joke is that?
I was referring to the amulet, he whispered, craning his head in my direction.
Oh, I released the breath I'd been holding in. Sorry about that.
I take it you have no good news to share?
A grin appeared on my face. Actually, I do, I said without meeting his eyes. I have the amulet. His eyes snapped to me.
You jest.
I shook my head proudly. Nope.
How did you get it back?
It's kind of a long story. What matters is, I got it back. I had no more time to waste. We were on a need-to-know basis, and what he needed to know was I wasn't playing games anymore. When are we meeting up to figure out how we're going to do this?
My schedule is always clear for you, love.
I want Taylor home, Dominic, and I want Angel dead. He needs to be stopped before it's too late, and I'm doing it with or without you. I stopped walking and turned to him. If you want out, now is your chance. The smirk on his smooth face let me know he was up for the challenge, excited even.
Duly noted.
And note this, I said, jabbing my finger in his chest. If you turn on me again, in any way, so help me God, I'm going to make sure it's the last thing you ever do.
I have no intentions of crossing enemy lines, he said, covering my finger with his hand and lowering it. We're on the same side now, Angel. My goal is the same as yours.
And the amulet?
I would be lying if I said I wouldn't prefer to possess it. However, your lovely hands are a satisfactory second,
he said, turning my hand over as to inspect the evidence. I pulled my hand back. You better not be lying to me.
I assure you. The only lying I wish to do with you is of the horizontal variety,
he whispered, leaning in as a group of searchers walked by us. My cheeks heated up. In your freaking dreams.
Indeed.
His grin hiked up at the corners as his eyes twinkled with salacious want.
And yours. For God's sake.
Bye, Dominic. I turned on my heel and started walking off. But he was right there beside me, moving in tandem as if we'd been tied together by some cursed from hell rope.
I met with Angel today, he said without looking down at me.
Obviously, he knew that would get my attention. I stopped walking again.
You did what? Simmer down, Angel.
His eyes focused on some unknown marker ahead of us.
We have to keep up the facade. In case you've forgotten, I'm supposed to be assisting him in the recovery of the amulet.
Right. It was becoming impossible to keep up with all the crap, lies, and alibis. So what did you find out?
The amulet, of course, is still top priority. However, he does appear to be quite tickled at the prospect of seeing you again, he said, glancing down at me. You seem to have that effect on my kind.
Lucky me, I said bitterly. I was pretty much a revenant magnet at this point. I could only imagine my fate once the cloaking spell was broken and all barriers were removed.
He's certainly vested in discovering what you really are, He thinks you could be the one to bring his plans into fruition.
He explained and then licked his lips.
Your blood, that is.
A chill ran down my back. I already knew my blood was the key because of what future Trace had told me, but I certainly didn't think Angel would already be looking in my direction.
After all, it did appear to be the reason why he was unable to be slayed that night. I myself am also rather interested in this anomaly and whether or not it was just a fluke.
He peered down at me, his eyes as dark as a bottomless well.
And I suggest we figure it out before Angel does.
He's not getting within a mile of my blood, I assured him, fists balled up at my sides as if I had any actual control over the situation. The only person who needs to know what I am is me. Not Angel, my uncle, the council, or anyone else for that matter. I'll figure it out on my own.
And how exactly are you going to do that?
He challenged.
Do you have a secret lab of scientists somewhere that are equipped to test out the immortality component of your blood?
No.
Perhaps Gabriel offered to be your subject?
He asked mockingly.
Is he going to taste your blood and then repeatedly stake himself in the heart? Though I'm sure the martyr would revel in the opportunity,
he added under his breath. Don't be ridiculous, Dominic.
Then tell me, love, how, pray tell, are you going to figure this out on your own?
I haven't ironed out all the details yet.
You don't say,
he said, feigning surprise. I shot him an irritated look as I shifted my weight.
If you quit being so stubborn, you may just realize that I'm the answer to your problem. I can help you, Angel.
Help me or help yourself to me? I crossed my arms over my chest and braved a step forward. I bet you're just dying to have yourself another bite. Well, you can forget it, pal. It's not going to happen. His mouth twitched into a smile.
I don't have to bite you to taste your blood, Temptress. There are other ways,
he reminded. I guess he kind of had a point there. I didn't bother giving him the satisfaction of saying it out loud, though.
We can make this as platonic and scientific as you like.
I bit my lip as I mulled it over.
I wish you wouldn't do that,
he said, his eyes zeroing in on my mouth as though completely intrigued by what I was doing. I released my lip and narrowed my eyes at him. I'd seen that look in his eyes before, right before he bit me. Are you even capable of having a conversation with me without thinking about food?
Food is the very last thing on my mind.
His lazy, lopsided grin let me know where his mind had gone. I'm not sure which one is worse.
They're both equally good, Angel.
My cheeks burned as the blood rushed up to my face.
You're welcome to take me up on it any time. And my offer to help you is still withstanding, of course.
Right. I shook away the distraction. I need to think about it, I said, and then quickly corrected myself. About your offer to help me figure things out. Not the other thing, obviously. I blushed again.
Yes, obviously.
He reiterated, a knowing smirk on his lips.
The choice is yours, Angel, though I do hope you make the right one. You ought to know the truth about yourself,
he said as he glanced over my shoulder and scowled.
I'm more than willing to help you.
Help her with what?
I jumped at the sound of the unexpected voice. Covering my racing heart, I spun around to find Gabriel walking towards us. Dressed in his usual dark jeans, black leather jacket, and signature frown. Shit. Gabriel! Hey! Wow! Where did you come from? I asked, hoping my inquiry would derail his questions. His mouth tightened into a line.
What's going on?
He asked, his face draped in suspicion. We were just talking about the search perimeters. Dominic offered to split up the area. I said, flinging my arm out as if a demonstration would help solidify the lie.
Gabriel's stare turned to ice as he focused in on his half-brother.
What the hell are you up to now, Dominic?
Whatever do you mean, brother?
You know exactly what I mean,
answered Gabriel, his voice as cool, calm, and collected as he always appeared to be.
I'm not up to anything. I'm simply lending a hand.
He bounced his eyes back and forth between the two of us as though we'd just been caught with our hands in the proverbial cookie jar.
What are you doing out here with him?
Nothing, I said, my tone unnaturally high. He's just helping me. Gabriel scoffed.
We both know Dominic doesn't help anyone but himself.
He bore his worried eyes into me.
You can't trust him, Gemma. You know this.
Apparently she can, answered Dominic with a smirk on his lips.
He was obviously working hard to provoke his brother, and seemed to be enjoying every minute of it.
Apparently you're the one she doesn't trust.
Gabriel's jaw muscles tightened, his hands clenched by his side. He looked like a dormant volcano that could blow at any minute. He's just trying to get a rise out of you, I said, giving his arm a reassuring squeeze. Don't listen to him. He looked at me and frowned.
I don't know what he's filling your head with, but you know better than this. He's a liar. It's what he is, what he's always been.
I know, I said, under my breath.
Is he threatening you?
No, of course not. We're just trying to find Taylor.
There, you heard it from her own lovely mouth, said Dominic smugly from the sidelines. Now run along, brother.
Would you seriously just shut up? I snapped, turning back to Dominic. He was making this 100 times worse than it had to be, and I wanted to kick him for it. Gabriel snagged my hand and drew me away from where Dominic was standing, though he was definitely still in earshot of us.
What's going on, Gemma?
His olive-green eyes were etched with concern.
You can tell me. You don't have to be afraid of him.
I'm not afraid of him, Gabriel. Surprisingly, my voice didn't falter when I said it. Nothing is going on, I promise. You worry too much. Everything is fine. I could tell he didn't believe me, and although it broke my heart to lie to Gabriel, I knew that telling him would only lead to Tessa's involvement in this. And I couldn't have that. She wouldn't listen to reason. She wouldn't listen to me. I was her little sister, after all. What did I know? I couldn't take the risk. Not when Taylor's life was at stake. Not when my own life was on the line. This is the way it had to be.
18. Grudge Match.
Trace avoided me at school the next day for most of the morning. At least, that's how it felt. By the time the lunch bell rolled around, I was determined to confront him about his sudden change in demeanor towards me. Unfortunately, Nikki had beat me to the punch and was already at his locker, eating up all his time and personal space with her big mouth and designer perfume I could smell halfway down the hall. She obviously never heard of the whole less is more thing. For a split second, I had the urge to walk over to her and tell her all about it. But I quickly retracted my cat claws, knowing I didn't get nearly enough sleep last night to handle 12 rounds with Nikki Parker. Before either of them saw me, I spun on my heel and headed back the other way towards the cafeteria, where the rest of the group was already sitting down at the usual table.
"Hey, Blackburn," smiled Caleb, his arm strung over the chair beside him. I saved you a seat.
Thanks, I said, plopping down in the chair with my paper-brown lunch bag in hand. Having completely lost my appetite, I didn't bother opening it.
What's up, Jem? Said Ben, who was sitting on the other side of the table with Hannah and Carly.
There was a somberness in his voice lately, a sadness in his eyes that was impossible to ignore. I couldn't help but think it had everything to do with missing Taylor. Not even Carly, who was working hard to liven his mood by talking to him about some new sci-fi show on TV, had any luck turning around his gloomy disposition.
And, as per usual, Morgan didn't even bother looking up from her phone.
No shadow today?
Asked Caleb, glancing over my shoulder as though searching for something.
Huh? That 6-foot-something half-blonde that's been following you around everywhere lately.
There was more than a hint of irritation in his voice. Last I saw him, he was with Nikki at his locker.
Figures,
he said, looking downright aggravated now. They're just working on something together. I wasn't sure who I was trying to convince more, myself or Caleb.
I bet they are.
I gave him a warning look. I didn't need him fanning the flames in my head any more than they already were.
Are you coming to the game tonight?
He asked, plucking a French fry from the top of his plate.
Brand new tendy just came up from Whistler. It's gonna be a gong show.
I laughed. I don't even know what that means.
It means you need to start coming to my games, he said, tweaking his eyebrows. Seriously, you should be there. We're dedicating the whole thing to Taylor.
Ben stopped listening mid-sentence and looked up at me. I could see the loss in his eyes, the concern for Taylor. It was as though he knew her life was sitting in the palm of my hands. And worse, he didn't think I had a chance in hell of bringing her home alive. I looked back at Caleb and shook my head. I have a family thing tonight. I don't think I can get out of it. The truth was, I was going to see Dominic. After tossing and turning in my bed for most of the night, I had decided that Dominic was right. I needed to know exactly what my blood was capable of doing and the effect it had on Revenants. And I needed to figure it out before Angel did. Living in the dark corners of denial with self-inflicted blinders on was no longer an option for me. And I didn't want it to be one.
That sucks, he said, looking down in disappointment.
His head bounced back up a moment later.
You're coming to my party on Saturday, though, right?
Trace appeared at the table just as I was about to answer Caleb. His dark hair was brushed back from his face, and his shoulders were high and wide, like he was coming up on enemy territory. There was no smile on his lips, but they looked beautiful and inviting just the same.
I
was apparently extremely distracted by said lips. I turned back to Caleb, blank-faced. What was the question again?
He wants to know if you're going to his party,
answered Trace, eyeing the two of us before taking a seat next to me. Right. I looked at Caleb again and shrugged. I'm not sure. Probably. I mean, I think so, I offered, though at this point, I had no idea if I'd even still be alive by Saturday. Caleb's gaze veered to Trace, who was slumped back in his chair with his feet kicked out in front of him and his eyes pinned straight ahead, glaring at some unknown marker.
How about you? Asked Caleb. You coming Saturday? Nah, man. I'm busy.
Trace didn't bother making eye contact with him when he answered.
Yeah? Busy doing what?
Caleb's tone was noticeably more aggressive. He lifted his chin a little as though he wanted to add some height to his frame.
Or should I say, who?
This was quickly going nowhere good. Trace turned slowly, his beautiful eyes cold and hard and damn near unrecognizable.
Don't worry about it, jockstrap. I'll handle my business. You handle yours. Your business? Challenged Caleb, and then leaned in like he wanted to drop a secret. Are you talking about Nikki, or is this Gemma's week?
The chair screeched back across the floor as Trace jumped up to his feet.
You got something you want to say to me? I thought I just did, said Caleb, knocking his own chair back as he stood up to join Trace.
Stop it, both of you! I popped up with my arms spread out on each side, and consequently landed myself square in the middle of their standstill. I thought you were friends.
Obviously not, spat Caleb. Yeah, because if you were, you wouldn't be trying to snake in on my girlfriend behind my back. Which girlfriend are we talking about again?
Trace's fist snapped out so fast I barely had time to register the movement. Caleb was on the floor, dazed from the hit, but only for a second before he bounced back to his feet and rushed Trace like a linebacker.
Stop it! I yelled,
but it was too late. They were already ripping into each other in front of half the school population. Ben quickly slid across the table and threw himself in the middle of the scrap. His shoes screeched against the floor as he ducked and dodged while trying to separate the two of them. I heard someone yell out to call the principal, but they were quickly shot down with a roar of boos from the crowd.
"Relax, dude, relax!"
grunted Ben as he struggled to stay in between them. It took everything he had to push them apart, and he was quickly losing ground.
"Fight! Fight! Fight! Fight!" chanted the crowd. "Gemma, get him out of here!"
ordered Ben as he hung onto each of them by the collar of their shirts. I rushed up and grabbed Trace's arm, pulling him backwards towards me with all my might as Ben pushed Caleb in the opposite direction. The cafeteria erupted in a fit of disappointment as the afternoon entertainment came to an abrupt end.
"We'll finish this later,"
threatened Caleb over the noise. Trace's dimples appeared on both sides.
"I'm looking forward to it, jockstrap."
The biting wind slashed through my hair, whipping it around my cheeks and neck as I followed Trace outside. The ground was still wet from this afternoon's rain, the clouds still gray and swollen with angry tears. A clap of thunder exploded in the distance, but I barely registered the sound. I was far too preoccupied keeping up with the raging Reaper in front of me.
"What the hell was that about?"
I asked him, chasing him through the student parking lot. He didn't answer.
"Trace!"
I grabbed his arm to get his attention.
"Leave it alone, Gemma. It's nothing."
He pulled his arm free and continued walking. I practically had to jog just to keep up with his stride.
It didn't sound like nothing.
No answer. God damn his stubborn ass. I planted my feet in the ground and stopped.
"Who were you talking about before?"
I shouted. I wasn't sure if it was the tone of my question or the fact that my footsteps had stilled behind him, but he finally came to a rest. Shoulders squared, he didn't bother turning around.
"When you said he was trying to snake in on your girlfriend,"
I clarified, even though I knew we were already on the same page.
"Who do you think?"
he answered, turning to face me. His expression fell heavy on me, like he was offended that I was even asking him the question.
"You, Gemma. I was talking about you."
"But I'm not.
It's just a word,"
he quickly said, taking a slow step towards me.
"I know you're not my girlfriend."
His eyes, full of desire and want, moved down the length of my body and then up again.
"But you will be."
The wind picked up, rustling his ebony hair as he stared down at me in the parking lot. He was so certain of us, of our fate. Like he knew what was going to happen before it even had a chance to come to fruition. Why? Because of what Morgan saw? Because of what she told him? All of that could change in the blink of an eye, evaporate into absolute non-existence. Nothing was certain in this world. Nothing. Not love or friendship or happy endings. Sometimes not even death.
Why do you always have to be so sure of yourself?
I tried to demand the answer out of him, but it came out meek and afraid, like I didn't have the courage to let myself feel any hope and didn't want him doing it for the both of us.
"I'm not,"
he said, walking up to me slowly.
"I'm sure about you."
"Well, maybe you shouldn't be," I said clumsily. I wasn't sure why I said that to him. Maybe it was because I knew what was coming, the darkness that was skirting along the horizon. Who knew if I was going to survive any of it, if I would even live long enough to be his girlfriend someday? In future Trace's world, I was already a goner. Toast. Persona non grata. Maybe all of this was just a prelude to that. The only thing I knew for sure was what I had to do. The outcome of it all was as slippery as an oil slick. The harder I tried to hang on to it, the more it fumbled out of my hands. "I'm going to see Dominic tonight," I told him, silently resigning myself to the only fate I currently knew.
"Dominic?"
His face twisted in anger.
"For what?"
"He offered to help me." I swallowed down the nervous lump at the back of my throat. "Test my blood."
"Is that right? And how is he going to do that?"
The way he said it, all snide and cynical, made it clear he already knew the answer and didn't approve.
I'm going to give him some of my blood, and then...
That's not happening,
he cut in before I could finish the rest of the sentence. Crossing his arms over his chest, he walked up to me and stopped just inches from where I stood, his jaw ticking furiously as he bent down towards me.
He's not putting a finger on you, and that's the end of it.
That's not your decision to make, I said carefully, holding his gaze as steadily as I could. I need to be prepared. I need to know what my blood can do, and I have to do it before Angel or the Council does.
Then we'll figure it out another way.
There isn't another way. I had already ran through my entire list of options more times than I cared to admit. And quite frankly, it was a pretty short list. Outside of grabbing some random rev off the street, Dominic was my only good option. I have to do this, Trace. It's the only way to know for sure. Realizing he wasn't going to change my mind, he shook his head and then dropped it in defeat. I need to know the truth.
I'm not okay with this.
I know.
But you're doing it anyway,
he answered for me. I nodded, my eyes and heart filled with regret.
Then I'm coming with you.
The urgency in his voice from earlier had returned with a vengeance.
You're not going there alone. If anything happens, if he even steps an inch out of line, I'm sending him straight to the Sanguinarium myself.
Do you really think that's the best idea? I asked, picturing an ex-keeper locked in a room with a vampire who would be testing my blood, and consequently his own limits, while the former watched on, powerless to stop it. Wetting his lips, he tipped in closer to me, bringing his mouth within a dangerous reach of mine.
I think it's the best decision I've made all week.
He closed the tiny gap between our mouths and pressed his lips into mine. My breath caught. With just one kiss, Trace could melt my body like butter, clear out my mind like I had reached nirvana. The only worry I had when I was in his arms was if my shaky legs would be able to keep me up long enough to enjoy it. And therein lay my problem. I put my hand out and pressed it against his chest, bringing the kiss to a cold, dead stop. His eyebrows rutted in confusion. Trace, I can't do this right now, I said, shaking my head. I couldn't let myself get distracted, sidetracked. Taylor was depending on me, and I owed it to her to give this everything I had. I need to stay focused.
Save it, Gemma. I get it,
he said, pulling back like a rubber band. Fury filled his scrutinizing eyes as he backed away from me and then bolted for his car. Whoa, wait a minute! I shouted after him as he pulled out his keys and unlocked the doors. Don't you dare walk away from me like that! He stopped, cold in his tracks, his back to me and his hand still gripping the door handle. When he finally turned around to face me, I could see him clenching his teeth so hard I thought his jaw might bust. What the hell was that? I demanded.
I don't get it,
he said, shaking his head.
You had no problem kissing him, yet you won't kiss me?
I didn't kiss Caleb, I said indignantly.
Not Caleb, my alt.
I quickly realized what this was about. You're the same person, Trace.
No, we're not,
he said, taking a small step towards me.
He screwed you over. I didn't. You can't even look me in the eye half the time because of what he did to you that night. Yet you kiss him?
He said, outraged by it. It's not like that, I said, shaking my head at his summary. You're twisting everything around.
Then tell me how it is, Gemma. Untwist it, he said sarcastically as he marched over to where I stood.
Crossing his arms over his chest, he tipped forward so we were closer to eye level.
I want to know what is so different about him.
I don't know, he just was.
Why?
Because, I said, searching desperately for the words that would explain this all away. All my searching amounted to four small words. Because he loves me. He didn't flinch.
How do you know?
He told me he did, and I felt it.
How? What did he say to you?
He probed deeper. His eyebrows rutted with curiosity as though our very future depended on it. I shook my head at him.
I didn't want to tell him about the promises of tomorrow, about what future Trace had professed to me. I didn't want to sway his feelings for me in any direction other than the direction they were meant to go.